So what I'd like to do now is switch over to the cases for this presentation, and then we'll have some questions with the panel. Here we have a 61-year-old gentleman who's healthy, whose PSA for the last 3 years are listed. It's 2.1 in 03, 2.4 in 04, and then it jumps to 7.3 in a year in 05. And because, a point that's important to know, PSAs can vary. That 7.3 could be actually incorrect. So it's always important to repeat it, because about a quarter of the time, these PSAs will go back down. His didn't. It was 7.5. So he had a biopsy performed appropriately. His gland is small. It was only 15 cubic centimeters on ultrasound. He had a nodule at the left base. He had three cores on the right, two of them positive, Gleason 6, mid and base. One core positive out of three on the left, left base, and perineural invasion was noted. So what we have here, just to summarize then, is a guy who has low-risk numbers. By numbers, he's T1C, PSA 7.3, Gleason 6, half the core is positive. But he's got this velocity issue, and he's got this hint of perhaps of higher-grade disease with perineural invasion. So if we go to the first question, please. So first of all, does this gentleman require any staging studies? Should a CT of the pelvis and a bone scan be performed? I'm going to ask Lori and then Mac to make some sense of what do you think you would do in a case like this.
Well, we have a large surveillance cohort, which is patients like this, some of whom have a rapid PSA rise, but the majority don't. And we did bone scans annually for many years, hoping to find this kind of patient who is the outlier, who, although his PSA was only mildly elevated and low grade, would have bone mets. We did roughly 600 bone scans. None of them showed a metastasis. So I feel very confident that this patient, unless he is less than 1 in 1,000, won't have bone mets. The other point is, you know, he's very unusual as a Gleason 6 to have a doubling time less than a year. In our cohort, that was somewhere around 3% fell into that group. So he is clearly a bad actor in that respect.
Mac?
I agree. I wouldn't order a bone scan. If he was going to be treated with radiotherapy, we would do a pelvic scan anyway. So, okay.
There are no studies looking at the outcome of CT pelvis bone scan with a velocity jump. They just haven't been done. We actually don't know whether we should get them or not in this case. Definitely you don't get them in low-risk patients. And the question is, does this velocity jump increase the pickup? It's something that really needs to be studied. How about Dan and Greg?
Just on the biopsy characteristics, he looks like he's a low risk, but once you presented with the PSA doubling time data, he's a high risk patient. I think he's got a high risk chance of relapsing.
Greg?
We surely want to look at this in our series. We've not looked at this question of PSA velocity, but in our brachytherapy series of low risk men with these features, the cause-specific survival is about 99.5% at 10 years. So we haven't seen these guys die in our series, but we also haven't evaluated the velocity factor.
I would have to say that while the doubling time information is compelling, we certainly have a large body of literature looking at Gleason score and PSAs that would put this gentleman in a low risk. And until there is more information about the doubling time that would make us change that opinion, I would consider this gentleman low risk.
Right. So I think that the story on velocity continues to emerge. And this year, there have been a couple of series that have validated the construct in surgical series. One's the Mayo Clinic and one's Stanford. And the radiation just Barnes Jewish, other than ourselves. So, you know, maybe over more time, this concept will emerge.
The problem is he's had three PSAs, and only one of them is elevated.
Right.
And, you know, there are spurious elevations in PSA, and so there's not really enough data in this patient to say with confidence that he has high risk. The other thing, just kind of an interesting point, we've looked at sun exposure and PSA variation, and sun exposure causes increase in vitamin D, which has a favorable effect on prostate cancer. In our series, during the summer, the rate of rise of PSA drops. And so there are these conundrums with respect to the PSA variation.
I would consider this patient intermediate risk. I mean, what I would consider this patient is a functional T3. He's got 50% of his cores positive, and he's also got this problem that this PSA went up significantly. So from a functional standpoint, from a management standpoint, I wouldn't consider him high risk, because this is not the kind of patient that I could justify putting on hormone therapy for 2 or 3 years or for life. But based on RTOG 8610 and based on your trial and based on some other trials I'll talk about, I would consider him an intermediate risk patient, and therefore he would be a candidate for short-term hormone therapy.
So what treatment would you recommend? Would you recommend some type of dose-escalated radiation approach to at least 75-60, or a dose-escalated approach to at least 70-20 with hormonal therapy, duration unspecified, or perhaps external beam radiation conformally delivered with an implant boost, or that treatment with hormones, or an implant and hormones, or an implant alone, or radical prostatectomy?
What was his age?
He was in his...
Young.
Early 60s. Mac, you want to say something?
Well, this is a case where obviously there's no right answer because we don't really have data on this kind of patient. But because I consider this patient to be a functional T3, not an anatomic T3, I would manage the patient with short-term hormones, radiation, and you could either 4, which would involve external beam and an implant. But I tend to believe that, you know, the data from 8610 suggested that Gleason 6s that were T3s had a survival advantage with short-term hormone therapy, so I would tend to favor that.